Good morning again. My name is Kelsey. And when Brian asked me to share my testimony, I was honored, but also completely terrified. So the heart's beating a little bit. So I told God that he'd really need to prepare my heart in order to do this and to take this spot of vulnerability in front of all of you. And he absolutely did. So he's prepared my heart through the vulnerability of those who have just come up during church and shared a word from the Spirit, through those who were at the women's generational panel who shared. That was huge for me. Through Brian and my husband's encouragement, through Kemp's word last week to do it scared. And then Rosie's call last week during first service. She called us to lay down our idols. And I didn't think I had anything I needed to lay down, but I was like, all right, God, is there anything I need to lay down? And he said, lay down the identity Kelsey the Worrier. So I didn't even realize that that was the identity that I was operating out of when I was preparing to share my story. But once that came to me, I was able to release that false identity and claim the sound mind and peace that I have in Jesus Christ. So before I share my story, just a few things about myself. I grew up in Hudson most of my life. I've been going to Garden City for 4 years. Anthony and I got married last December, who I met through Garden City. And we're currently living in the Hartville area with 2 dogs on 2 acres. So the first time I ever encountered the Holy Spirit, my life just completely transformed, and including my health. So I encountered the Holy Spirit in November of 2018, and it was during a time when my life had just completely fallen apart. I had no job, although I graduated college with a 4.0 GPA. I had no place of my own. I was back at my parents' place. I was fully reliant on them, and my health was a total wreck. And the worst of it was probably when I went 2 months without sleeping, and it felt like my brain was on fire, and I was just completely delirious. And at that point, darkness had become a close acquaintance to me. So at that point, all the idols in my life had been taken away after I thought I had made it. After I had graduated college. And I just thought I had nothing else to live for, because of all the suffering that I was going through. But to make a long story short, I went back to church, after about 6 years of not going, and I heard a sermon that, just helped me realize that I needed God. And upon that realization, the Holy Spirit came on me. It was at night when I was in my room, and I just saw a bright light, and all the tension that I had been carrying in my body just like melted away like butter. And I felt just really peaceful. And for the first time in my life, I felt welcome in my own body. I didn't feel trapped anymore. So after that, I was all in for Jesus. Now, I wish I could say I lived happily ever after. And I thought that would be the case. So I was in the honeymoon phase with Jesus for a couple years until life started to get hard again. So I had several unresolved health issues and some new ones that popped up, and they were really just wearing me down. So I was struggling with chronic fatigue. I was still having some issues with anxiety. I was having debilitating back pain, an unusual case of osteoporosis, chronic UTIs, and I was really concerned about my reproductive health. Now, something I've struggled with since my teenage years is that I had never menstruated on my own before. And according to the doctors, after a lot of testing and prodding and scans, it was just a medical mystery to them because it seemed like everything was fine. And not only was I not menstruating, but the lack of estrogen in my body caused osteoporosis, which is basically really brittle bones. So at 17 years old, I was put on hormone replacement therapy indefinitely. So over the years, I've experienced a lot of shame and exhaustion from these health issues, which led to self-isolation a lot of times. And I didn't realize it, but that was just like my go-to coping mechanism. So I avoided those health issues for a while, just kind of accepting that it was a part of me. And then I got married. And the funny thing about being married is you share everything and you can't hide. So going to my bedroom to hide was no longer an option. And Anthony also got really good at reading my cues for when I was struggling and I just didn't want to talk and I wanted to be in my bubble. But I praise God for that and Anthony's gentleness and patience because I finally had to face these issues. And so out of desperation, the first thing I did was reach out to Pastor Brian, because of what it says in James 5, 14 to 15. So it says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well." So that prayer kicked off a new phase of my healing journey. Some of you might have even seen me up here getting prayed over back in like February. And shortly after that, I came out of hiding and I started going to counseling and bringing things to the light in order to heal. And something that encouraged me to do that was what it says in 1 John 1, 5 to 7, which says, "God is light, in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin." So for me, it was time to let God's light shine on the hidden parts of my life. So the first moment of healing came to me in early summer. I was very concerned about staying on hormone replacement therapy because now that I was married, I was worried about getting pregnant and I really didn't think I was able to have kids. So over the years, the doctors had tried to put me on some more rigorous therapy for my bones, which would have affected my fertility permanently. And in my innermost being, I just knew that God was going to heal me. So I turned those things down. And after 13 years, this spring, I received the news that my bones were completely healed. Thank you. Yeah. So I know that God was the one who healed my bones because when the Holy Spirit came on me in 2018, the inflammation markers in my blood and my bone scans started showing a lot of improvement. And I think it was just because of the peace that I finally had in my body. So now that my bones are restored, at the end of June, I told my doctor, I'm going off hormone replacement therapy. So I'll come back to that. But the next step in my healing journey came from wrestling with God about the remaining chronic illnesses that I had. I was just confused that how could a good God allow suffering for so long and why would he allow chronic illnesses to his children? It just wasn't making sense to me. So I just released all my pent-up anger at God one night and let him have all my frustrations. And it was in that moment of bitter honesty that the Lord showed me the differences between him and the enemy. So until that moment, I had been putting all of the enemy's actions on God's account. But once God opened my eyes to the enemy's tactics, just a cascade of realizations and miracles followed. So thanks to what I've learned at Garden City, I already knew that I had given in to lies and false beliefs about myself. So I had tried countless times to replace those lies with the truth, but that didn't stop the following lies from running and ruining my life. So one was, I am broken beyond repair and will suffer forever. Another was, I am unlovable. And the third was, I am a burden. Although I know the Bible says God is the great physician, the mighty counselor, that I am made in his image, that I'm chosen and I'm loved beyond measure, those truths hadn't made it from my head into my heart. And it wasn't until God revealed how the enemy works in the world and the specific tactics he uses against me, that I finally knew what to do. I had to break and bind up my agreements with the enemy. So I was still believing and in agreement with the enemy's lies in my heart. And that was blocking God's truth from making its way to my heart. So I read in Matthew 18:18, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So by the covering of the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ, I spoke directly to the enemy, and I rebuked him for all of his evil tactics, and I declared that I was breaking all the agreements that I had made with him. So we broke up. Then I welcomed the Holy Spirit deeper into the space that I commanded the enemy to leave. Because with the house being clean, you have to have the Holy Spirit enter there. Shortly after this, I experienced another miraculous healing. I was lying in bed one morning, and I started to feel an unfamiliar tingling in my back. I was scared that there was something wrong because I was having terrible back pain a few days before. But I just gave it to God, and I was like, God, just do whatever you want to do. So shortly after, I started to convulse. Strange noises were coming out of my mouth, and my spine got stretched long ways from top to bottom. Now, I have S-curved scoliosis in my back, and I've never felt it straightened like that before in my life. So the traction I received in my back and just the warmth that I got in my discs was completely miraculous. And that experience went on for a few hours. And once it was over, I knew I had been delivered. And I just had a huge emotional and physical relief from that. Then I had another moment of healing. And that came through a study on forgiveness with the Tyrese Small Group. So one of the chapters taught us to take an inventory of those we needed to forgive in our lives. And I was familiar with this tactic, but I didn't think I had any unforgiveness in me. But the study also talked about inventorying the lies that you believe about yourself. And my small group encouraged me to take those lies and see if I could trace it back to anybody that I needed to forgive. So later that night, I listed out all the lies that I believed about myself, and then suddenly I was flooded with memories of times when people hurt me that had led to believing those lies. So I had a whole list of people to forgive. So I told the Lord that I no longer held those people in bondage and that they didn't owe me anything. So I forgave them and gave everything to God, and the next day I really felt like a new person. I was less burdened, and I was experiencing a deeper level of freedom. Now, the last step in my recent healing journey comes from when I talked about how I had never menstruated on my own before. So again, I was put on hormone replacement therapy, and I just kept like one tiny sliver of hope that I might be able to get pregnant one day. Now, at the end of June, I went off of all of those medications, and I thought my body just wouldn't be able to do anything by itself. And August came around, and I thought I was going through menopause. So I have a lot of compassion for those who are now. So I didn't get a period. I was having hot flashes, and I just like was not feeling like myself at all. So I did take some pregnancy tests throughout the month just to kind of rule that out, and they were all negative. So I was like, okay, here we go again. So I was supposed to go back to the doctor to get my hormone levels checked, but I just knew God was going to do something. I just had that feeling inside of me that he was going to show up, so I decided to wait. So then September rolled around, and it was coming to that time of month, and I was feeling really off again. So I was like, all right, I've got more pregnancy tests. Let's just rule this thing out. So I took the test, and in complete disbelief, I had a positive test in my hands. I had no idea how far along I was or why my body did what it did in August. But we knew we had a miracle from God in our hands. Thanks. So after the shock of that wore off, Anthony helped me realize something big, that what I believed about being broken beyond repair was a lie. And that nothing is impossible for God, and your circumstances don't define who you are. So today, I'm almost 14 weeks pregnant, and the baby and myself are very healthy. And Anthony's doing well too. And since receiving the news, I've just been in awe of God's goodness. But I do have to tell you that the enemy has been making a ton of noise. He's tried to tell me that I'm going to miscarry. He's gotten me to worry about supporting the baby financially. And I actually had a breakdown about affording braces. he's told me that I'm unworthy to be a mom and so many other evil lies. But God's prepared me to identify these tactics. And I know that because of the authority I have in Christ, I have the power to bind up the enemy's lies and cast them away. And that's what I want you all to walk away with. I want you all to know that God loves you. He cares deeply about you. And you are his chosen child. And you have the authority through his son, Jesus Christ, to overcome the evil one. In Luke 10:19, it says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ, and it is because God chose us, and it is by faith that we have been set free. And I pray that God continues to break chains for us all and that more testimonies are produced, bringing joy to his children and glory to himself. Thank you.
Wow, that's a lot of people. Morning. My name is Zach Warius, and I'd like to share my story of how I came to walk with God. In my early years as a child, I was not raised going to church or went to church a handful of times when I was a teenager. I was always an agnostic, and belief in God always seemed like a waste of time. Fast forward to when I was 23. One morning, I woke up hungover and dehydrated from the night before. I was speaking to a friend at a local coffee shop, and suddenly I lost the ability to speak and lost all sensation on the right side of my body. I had a stroke due to an unknown birth defect in my heart. In the hospital, the feeling came back to my body, but I would have to spend the next year relearning how to speak, read, and write again. I then received open-heart surgery to repair the defect in my heart. Then I was diagnosed with PTSD. It was the most awful year of my life. A year later, I tried going back to school, but I couldn't finish. My post-stroke brain could not keep up at that time. Over the next 5 years, I became an extremely rude and angry person, and I was stuck in a dead-end job. And I felt like I was going nowhere. I felt like David, the insignificant shepherd boy, just being marginalized and minimized by the people around me. And I resented that. I eventually found a way out and worked as a machinist. I worked my way up throughout the company, and I am currently in a support role implementing lean manufacturing. Thankfully, this is now developing into a leadership position within the company. So, did I make it? Did I find peace? I was no longer a rude person, and I began to find satisfaction in my work. But something else was missing. I had a good job, a house, a car, and fun hobbies, things that would generally be considered successful in our culture. But still, I struggled with depression and PTSD. Life felt so empty, and I yearned for more. Then a friend whom I met at work invited me to Garden City. I didn't go for quite a while after he invited me, and there he is. His name is Anthony Conway. He's hiding in the back. His wife, Jen, is here. Thank you. So I finally decided to go after one particularly depressing evening. I realized while at church that even though I had dismissed God, I really didn't know anything about the Bible. I introduced myself to Pastor Brian, and we've been having one-on-one conversations weekly to discuss the very basics of the Bible, the story of God, and to dig into some of my questions. I've been on this journey for about 7 months now at Garden City. Thanks, Brian. I came to the place to where I was open to God, but yet wasn't able truly to believe. At one meeting in particular, I was wrestling with the existence of God, deeply questioning whether he was real or not, and Brian just invited me to pray a simple prayer and to see what God would do to make himself known to me. Here's what he suggested. God, I don't know whether you are real or not. If you are, I invite you into my life and start walking with me. A couple of weeks later in the parking lot before church one morning, I gave God that very invitation. I then walked inside church and sat down right over there. And from there, I began to see that God was indeed answering my prayer. Everyone was particularly welcoming and friendly that day. I sat down in my chair with my coffee, and out of the blue, Jasmine introduced herself to me out of all the people in the room before service. We had a small conversation about where I came from, and she offered support to me in my journey. Jasmine later told me that the Lord had told her to come talk to me that morning. That Sunday also happened to be Communion Day. I had invited Jesus to make himself known to me, and I had a deep sense that he was responding to me by saying, "Here I am. Are you up for the invitation?" I don't know how it happened, but I began to believe in Jesus right then and there, and I want to spend the rest of my life following him as well. So to celebrate the breakthrough, I accepted communion the first time that Sunday. Thank you. Since that day, I've regularly felt what I can only describe as a warm blanket being placed over me. I'm also feeling emotions that I've never felt before. Tears of joy, hope, and peace come over me fairly regularly, as well as tears of empathy for others. While most men might not welcome such a change, I found it to be pretty awesome. Believing in God has helped me look back and make sense of my life. He's helped me put my past into perspective and has really helped me connect the dots through all the difficulties and trials I faced and will face. As I progress into my journey with Jesus, I'm so excited to grow more and more into his likeness every day. I want to say a special thank you to Garden City and all the church body, the people in the church body for walking with me in this experience. I feel so welcome. I feel at home. And I am so eager for what is to come. I've really met some great people here. For anyone who is curious out in the audience and is struggling with belief, I offer this advice. Just go into a quiet area, meditate, and say a simple prayer and ask him to be let in. He'll make himself known to you, and you'll start to notice him more and more and more every day. And I pray that you do that. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing. I just went up to Brian and was like, I need you to tell me that it's okay to take up this time and space to share because I'm getting nervous about the time. And he said it was okay. So here I am. Good morning. Hello. This sun is rough. Oh my gosh. I feel like I should have wore sunscreen. Where's the shadow? What? Oh, okay. I don't want to get sunburned. Okay. Good morning. I'm Katie Nara. Quick intro because I have a lot to share, but I still wanted to introduce myself to those who don't know me. I have been going to Garden City for 7 years. I also met my husband here in Brian and Megan's backyard. So that's so fun. We just bought a house in Highland Square. I am type A, Enneagram 3 girly. I work in Parks and Rec. I am the community events coordinator for the city of Aurora, and it is just like the sitcom Parks and Rec. I love deep conversations with friends, anything that's a competition, hosting parties, making people laugh, all the things. I wanted to start and end with this psalm because I feel like this is my story. This is what the Lord has done. Psalm 40, 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. So this morning, I'm going to talk about grief. How fun. Happy Sunday morning. Hope you're awake. I'm going to share my history with grief, total life implosion that happened earlier this year as a result of suppressing grief, and what God has done and is continuing to do with my broken heart and with my brokenness. So before I share how my life imploded earlier this year, I want to share a bit of my story. You're going to learn about little Katie a little bit. I think it's interesting because at the end of 2023, going into 2024, our small group took a couple months, for people to share their testimonies. When I say a couple months, I mean we literally did this for like 4 months because it would be two people a night, like every week sharing their story. So people got to like dive in deep. And I shared mine earlier this year and it was literally the first time that I had ever considered including the losses that I went through as part of my story. That's how disconnected I was. I am my own best gaslighter. Others have had it worse. You're being dramatic. It's not that bad. But I pushed past that to share that as part of my story when I shared my testimony with my small group, and it was really healing. So I'm excited to take up space to do that with you guys today. I'm going to say some sad things, but it'll be okay. Jasmine was going to play piano during this, and I was like, girl, you don't need to, just rest. But if you were, while I'm talking about all the deaths that I went through, if you could play some, like, haunted house music, that would be really good, like, da-da-da-da. So I'm going to talk about death. When I was between 9 and 11, I experienced a lot of death back-to-back. Starting when I was in fifth grade, my great-aunt Barb died in a motorcycle accident on vacation. Her husband was seriously injured from the accident as well. 4.5 months later, my Aunt Kathy, who was 39, died in a car accident. 2 weeks after that, my great-grandmother died of old age, but, you know, it was 2 weeks later. 6 months after that, I watched my childhood cat have a stroke and die. 3 months after that, my great-uncle George died from the injuries of the motorcycle accident. 6 months after that, my grandpa Ralph suddenly died from a cat scratch that had got infected and caused a stroke. 5 months after that, two of my classmates and one of their dads died in a car accident. One of them was a friend of mine in band and had been my crush for many years. I have experienced a lot of death since then. I'm not going to take you through all of it, but I did want to mention a couple more that had really impacted me. In 2016, a friend from high school band was killed in a car accident on Easter morning. In 2017, we found out that my otherwise healthy grandpa and my most favorite person of all time had stage 4 cancer, and he died a few weeks later after we found out. In 2018, Reed, a neighbor and friend from Campus Focus of mine, died by suicide. In 2020, a camper that I had had from the summer prior from a camp I worked at was murdered by her father, along with her mother and brother. And in 2020, just to end on one to maybe make you laugh, my grandma went into the hospital because she had been constipated for 3 weeks, and she died choking on water in the hospital. As a kid, I did not feel safe to express any negative emotion, and I did not know how to feel at all. My family was very dissociated, ignored. They pretended like the deaths did not happen. And for most of these deaths, I did not cry at all. Like, I have a lot of vivid memories, like sitting in the funeral homes thinking, like, you can't cry. You're not allowed to cry. Or even being in sixth grade, like when the when my classmates had passed away and they did a moment of silence over the announcements, I just wanted to cry. But I was like, you can't. You're not allowed to. Like, this can't affect you. You have to be okay. Other people are more impacted by this death. So it was a lot of making my feelings and making my experience with these losses really, really small. That's also how I was able to work at a funeral home for 3 years as my college part-time job. Some people in college, you know, work at like Kohl's or Chick-fil-A. I worked at a funeral home. So if that tells you how disconnected I was from grief and loss, there it is. So that brings us to this year. On January 15th, I saw the aftermath of a fatal car accident. Like, I passed it like 2 minutes after it happened. And believe it or not, because at this point it's probably going to sound like I'm making things up, and the gaslighting part of myself is like, this is not real. But it is. It's real. I had actually seen two other fatal car accidents before in the last 5 years. But this time, it was different. Not because of the accident, but because of, like, me. I don't know how else to explain it, except it was the perfect storm and released, like, an intense amount of grief that I had never expressed before. It launched me into one of the most painful, messy, and vulnerable seasons that I have ever had. I won't spend too long on the S-word show. Look at me saying S-word. Brian knows I can be cussy, and so he was like, you can say two cuss words max, but I'm going to get through this without saying any. S-word. The S-word show that became my life earlier this year. I will give you a quick overview of what happened. I basically stopped being able to function as a human being. I had, right after I saw the car accident and while I was still driving, I had a panic attack, and I basically did not stop having panic attacks after that moment. Multiple panic attacks a day, catatonic episodes where I would literally, like, freeze, where I couldn't move, I couldn't talk. I had suicidal ideation, a lot of PTSD symptoms, started struggling with cutting. I basically was the most anxious and depressed I had ever been, and my body was constantly going between fight, flight, and freeze. So this resulted in having to take a lot of time off of work, like at least 2 months, which I'm an Enneagram 3, that killed me. Doing an intensive outpatient program for 10 weeks at SUMA Hospital, even an inpatient stay at SUMA in the psych unit. I had to have so much therapy. There was so much of, like, needing help, so much of having nothing to offer, and it killed me. It killed my perfectionist that doesn't want to show weakness. It killed my people pleaser that was scared to be too much. It killed the independent Katie that was really afraid to rely on others with the needs that I had. It killed the need to earn love part that believes that love is only based on what I do for others, which during that season was literally nothing. I literally couldn't do anything for others. Also, sidebar, I asked my husband this morning, I finished writing this morning at 8:45. I was like, should I say this part? And he was like, yeah, you should say it. It's kind of funny. So during this time, I could not, like, function just sitting in the sanctuary at church. Like, everything was too much. So I sat up in the balcony with some friends and with my husband, and I called us the Balcony Baddies. So shout out to the Balcony Baddies up there. It took a hot minute, but I eventually realized that what was occurring earlier this year was decades of grief and pain that I had completely shoved, and my body, like, needed to release it. A few weeks into my hell season, as I now call it, that doesn't count as a cuss word, it's in the Bible. I I lost my spot. Oh, okay, so a few weeks into my hell season, this is what I wrote in my journal. Spending most of your life pretending to be okay has its cost. I am now paying the price. This quote from the book of Seven Marks of Healthy Discipleship perfectly describes what this resulted in. I really connected with it. When our pain and grief goes unexpressed or unfelt, it gets buried alive. As a result, we lose access to the depth and range of feelings given to us by God, and our emotional lives are compressed into a tightly constricted box. Eventually, the feelings we bury claw their way back up through the earth of our lives and manifest in symptoms such as depression, anxiety, emptiness, and loneliness. My unexpressed pain and grief not only crawled its way back in, it was more so like getting hit by a bus, but you get the point. I was confronted by my grief in a way I had never experienced before because I had spent my whole life working very hard to suppress any of the negative feelings about the losses that I shared with you. Okay. So, last night, I'm writing this, what I'm sharing right now, and I just, like, felt stuck. So, this is what I, like, I was just typing, and I, like, just typed out this little prayer to Jesus. So, I'm just gonna read it. Jesus, I feel like I don't know how to write this next part. I don't think I quite understand what happened from January 15th to now. I don't want to say something Christian-y and minimizing, like God just loved me through it and I got better. But I also recognize that the healing that came was nothing to do with me and all to do with your kindness. So what happened? How do I explain this part of my story? It's powerful for sure. I want to communicate what you did. I just don't know how. So I'm sitting at my kitchen table and I just typed out this little prayer. And what came to mind, was a journal entry in something God had spoke a couple months before the hell season started. It was like a split up night, guys and girls for small group, and I was leading and Jesus had given me very specific questions for us to process and share with each other. So the first question was, Jesus, how are you moving in my life? And I had this picture of Jesus and I in a beautiful field, and we were running, and he was a little bit ahead of me, and like as we're running, there's just like old parts of me just like shedding off, just like coming off his capes, and there was this newer, more beautiful like part of me that remained. And so I asked God, what do you want me to know about this next season? And I felt like he said, we are going to start stepping into some scary things, but you will be in step with me and I will carry you through your fear. And then I felt like he gave me some specifics. You're going to let go of finances in a new way. Yeah, no kidding. Talk about being off of work for months. You and Daniel will come to know one another. That's my husband. You and Daniel will come to know one another on a deeper and more transparent level. Parts of your life will slow down. You are going to feel stretched thin, but you are going to be filled by me. Then I wrote down, God, all this sounds so overwhelming, but I would choose to look at your face and trust your character and trust what is true about you. LOL. I like rolled my eyes when I read that. I was like, oh, if you only knew. If you only knew 2023, Katie. But I mean, I'm very glad that I chose to enter into the hell season. Okay. So, as I'm praying this last night and I just don't really know what to write next to share my story, another thing came to mind. So 2 days before I saw the car accident, I was here for an art journaling thing, and the prompt, we were supposed to like pick a word or a verse or something that meant a lot to us in art journal about it. And I was really struggling with this. Like 80% of the time I was just sitting there flipping through magazines with like lots of question marks because I just did not know what to art journal about. And then I came across this poem in a magazine and it made me so emotional, and I didn't quite understand why at the time. But I'm going to read it to you. You're like the seed from which a plant grows. Almost everything you need to be fully who you are is already inside of you, waiting for the things that nurture you, the things that bring you to life. You will need nurture to be put in places that make you come alive, to be given space to sort it all out, tools to learn and grow and be, then time to wait and watch as what you've always been becomes the fullness of who you were made to be. I don't know how else to explain it, but the Lord's kindness and grace and goodness is what brought healing. I feel peace knowing that this season and everything that happened wasn't a surprise to him. I don't think God like made me see this car accident or caused my life to implode, but I do believe that he uses all things for good. Early on in the season, I said to a friend, I am scared to feel and grieve what I've been through. It feels like if I let myself grieve, it'll kill me. She said, if you don't let yourself grieve, it will kill you. For the first time in my entire life, I let my grief take up space and I let it be witnessed by others. I made a grief scrapbook of all the people that I lost and I shared it with friends. I really wanted to bring it today, but my husband and I were a little chaotic with our move a couple weeks ago and I can't find it. We looked through all the boxes. I don't know where it's at. And I told him, I need to make a grief scrapbook about how I'm sad that I can't find my grief scrapbook. My husband and I, we went to visit my aunt's grave, which I had never done before. I mean, it had been like 15 years. I had never done that, besides the funeral. I wrote letters to loved ones that I lost. I did a lot of like loving little Katie, where I would go back to these painful moments, finding out about these deaths. And like me and adult Katie and Jesus would just like cry with her. We would like give her the opportunity to cry that she did not have when she was going through these things. I had to recognize that my grief was not something to be fixed. It's not a disorder with a cure, but not facing it had made me stuck. So a caveat that I want to say is that the healing process was not linear. It was just like that. There were so many up and downs, and I think a good way to represent this is one Sunday, Kemp was like, at the end, you know how he does, does anyone want to share a story of God's goodness? And I was like, I do, and I ran up here, and I was like in the middle of my hell season, and I shared, and it was so wonderful, and literally the next Sunday, I was in the psych unit at SUMA. And that just broke my heart. Like, that's just, it was all over the place. Okay. The healing isn't over, but I do feel amazed at how far the Lord has brought me. I wrote down, worship team Q. Worship team, you can come up now because I'm almost done. Okay. At one point in this season, I wrote in my journal, praise the Lord. He has brought me out of darkness and into the light. What was meant for evil, he has turned for good. He has kept his promise to carry me. His love and mercy satisfy me. They quench my broken soul. Praise God. It is for his grace, his kindness, and his goodness that I have come so far. I know it's not over, but I have to take time to praise him for how far he's brought me. There were many moments where I didn't know if I'd ever feel normal again, if I'd ever get to the other side of this. This has been the darkest darkness I have ever experienced, and the Lord used it to bring death to the things that were never meant to be a part of me. Pride, people-pleasing, independence, etc. I don't want to live how I used to. God, let this season mark one of the biggest and most impactful changes I've walked through. Let me look back at this time and be overwhelmed with thankfulness and praise. Please continue to refine me and reveal yourself to me. I look to you for healing. You are not above my trauma, and you meet me in my painful experiences, and you want to bring redemption, however uncomfortable that may feel. And I will end again on Psalm 41 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Thank you so much for listening.